And standing for the reading of today's sermon text. Today it's in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. It's in your worship guide, or you can, there's a Bible there in front of you in the chair. You can read it from there as well if you don't have your own. But I'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is the word of the Lord.
Please be seated. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your word. It's living and active, and we ask that you would use it today in our hearts the way we need to hear it. For your glory and your grace and your name's sake, we pray. Show us that you are our good shepherd and teach us to rely on you in greater ways, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As many of you may know, a few months ago, our pastoral apprentice, Hamid, set up a conference in Turkey so that Hamid and Imad and I went over to speak with some church people from the church in Iran, in Turkey, in Istanbul. And while we were there, we decided, since we're so close in Turkey, to visit some other cities where we knew Paul planted churches. As you know, you read the Bible in the book of Acts. And we went to Ephesus and Pergamum. And like you often do in those cases, we contacted a guide for our trip down to Ephesus and up to Pergamum. And this guide picked us up at the hotel that morning and was with us every step of the way, never left our side the entire day. He took us where we wanted to go in Ephesus, showed us all the places we needed to see, got us back to the hotel, and was never left our side. And you know, that experience is similar to the way that God gives us salvation in His Son, Jesus Christ. God gives us His Son, Jesus Christ, to rescue us, and Christ rescues us through never leaving our side so that we reach His kingdom as we ought to. He's our rescuer and our guide, and He never leaves us in this rescue. Yet He ascended into heaven and is at the right hand of the Father, we know right now. So how does He lead us and guide us now as our good shepherd? He surely did with His apostles in this world when He lived in His earthly ministry, but how does He do it now that He descended? Well, surely He does it by His Spirit. He sent His Spirit at Pentecost to dwell in us as believers, to guide us and lead us as His people to our desired end. But there's also another very practical way that He designed to be with us and to guide us in our pilgrimage in this world, and that is to give us elders or under-shepherds to help us, to be our guides and lead us and help us and never leave our side as well. As you know, Jesus is referred to as the good shepherd. He calls His sheep in John chapter 10. He tells us He calls His own sheep and leads them. And Peter told us that's the very essence of what it means to be a Christian in a few chapters earlier in 1 Peter. In chapter 2, at the end, as we just read in our after our call to confession and our assurance of pardon, Jesus says to these disciples in chapter 2, by his wounds you've been healed. For you were like straying sheep who were straying, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Notice the very essence of being a Christian is to be under the shepherding care of the Lord Jesus. And that's because, as human beings, after the fall, we became like straying sheep from God. We wander away from God into this dangerous position that we're in that we often leads us into trouble. Sheep in that day when Peter spoke, most people knew what sheep were like. In our culture, not so much, but they had daily experience with sheep, and they knew that sheep stray into trouble, and they get into trouble that they can't get themselves out of, unfortunately, and they die that way. One thing that's certain for us as human beings is that we are like sheep because we need constant help and guidance if we're ever going to be with our good shepherd, God himself, and find our final rest. Our pilgrimage in this world is filled, especially as Christians, with many dangers and pitfalls and trials. And our remaining weakness is always with us, pulling us back and leading us to dangerous places. And without a Savior who is constantly with us, watching us as our shepherd, we have no hope of reaching our destination. We need a Savior who not only just starts us on the road, but is with us on the road to care for us and watch over us. Unless we receive constant care, we perish. So Peter's picking up on this image of sheep and a shepherd in chapter 5, and you can see that in verse 2. He tells these elders in the church, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Notice the shepherd and the flock image that he uses. There's a shepherd and there's a flock. And you notice actually in verses 3 and 4 that he makes a distinction among shepherds. In verse 3, notice there are certain shepherds who are given a charge over a certain flock. And then in verse 4, we're told there's a chief shepherd who's over those shepherds who have been given a charge, and he's going to reward them at the proper time. Notice, look at what he says in verses 3 and 4 again. Not domineering, the elders are not supposed to be, not domineering over those in your charge. You've been given a charge over these sheep, given it by someone else, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Notice what he's saying there? Those in your charge refer to a portion of the flock that are given to these shepherds by the chief shepherd who's going to return one day and give a reward to his shepherds and under-shepherds for their work. And what God's teaching us here is that in a very practical way, the chief shepherd Jesus never leaves our side, even though he's ascended into heaven. And what's the very practical way that Jesus never leaves our side? He gives us elders in the church. See, that's who he's speaking to in verse 1, right? Notice he tells them in verse 1, so I exhort who? The elders among you. As a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. He refers to them as elders, as an official role in the church. They've got some leadership capacity of shepherding that they have. And he uses this word, presbyteros, and it's a word that from which we get our English word, Presbyterian. And that's why we're called a Presbyterian church, because we are led and shepherded by elders in the church. So Jesus never leaves the side of Christians by giving them elders to shepherd them. And this is how Jesus leads and guides us as sheep today. He puts you under the charge of under-shepherds that he's put in place. It's a very practical way Jesus designed his church to work. And how is it supposed to work? Well, that's what Peter tells us in these verses today. And they're important words. They're very important words. I can't emphasize that enough. If you're a member of Town North, you need to hear these words to understand your relationship to the elders and how Jesus carries out his eldering and shepherding of you as his flock. So two important things Peter tells us here is, first, what Jesus requires of his elders, and secondly, what Jesus requires of his sheep. Right? Two things he tells us, what Jesus requires of his elders, what Jesus requires of his sheep. What does Jesus require of his elders? Well, interestingly enough, it appears one main thing required of his elders is they love Jesus. Now, you don't see that explicitly in the text, but when you read it and think about it, that's what comes out. Look at verse 1. I exhort the elders among you, and this is Peter speaking, right? As a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Notice Peter is speaking to them as a fellow elder. He's an apostle, but he also knows he's a shepherd. That elder means a shepherd. He's a shepherd just like every one of them. And Peter was given this role as a shepherd by the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually, by the way, think about it. When you think of Peter, he's a good example of how no one in the church deserves to be a shepherd or an elder. Think about Peter. He was with Jesus the night he was betrayed in the garden. Peter fell asleep when Jesus told him to pray and watch. A few hours later after his arrest, three times Peter denied that he even knew Jesus. How could Peter present himself here as a fellow elder and shepherd in good conscience after those events? Am I really an elder? But remember, Peter was restored, wasn't he? Remember, he was restored specifically by Jesus as a shepherd in John 21. Remember what happened? Jesus, after he rose from the dead, came back and he met with the disciples several times. One time, he met with them on the edge of the water. Remember, they were out fishing and he had breakfast with them as they came in from fishing. And after they had breakfast, Jesus turned to Peter and said these words specifically, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him again, "Feed my lambs." Then he asked him a second time, "Simon, do you love me?" Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, do you love me?" Peter said to him, "Why do you ask me, do you love me? Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Be a shepherd of my sheep." Which is an interesting side note, isn't it, that he asked him three times? Peter denied Jesus three times. Jesus reinstitutes Peter as a shepherd, having him say he loved him three times. You know, someone has said this is Peter's ordination exam. You know, if you come into our denomination to be a pastor, you have to take an ordination examination, which means you take written and oral examination before a committee and before the presbytery on various things of English Bible and doctrine and church history and sacraments. And they're all right and good questions. But it seems like Jesus gets right to the heart of the matter in his ordination examination and asks one greater question, "Do you love me?" Clearly, if Peter is going to tend Christ's sheep, he needed to be a man who loved the chief shepherd. He needed to be a man who was going to stick in there, persevere. Even when it became dangerous and difficult for the sheep, he needed to be a man who loved the chief shepherd and loved his sheep because he loved the chief shepherd. And he was going to follow like his chief shepherd. He wasn't going to be the man who ran when the sheep were under attack, but he would stick in there because he loved the chief shepherd and therefore loved his sheep. That's truly the first and greatest qualification for any elder in the church, to love Jesus Christ and to recognize that he's been a man bought by Jesus Christ and a man who's brought to the end of himself and sees that he has nothing, and then he hears the shepherd's voice and knows it's the good shepherd's voice calling him, and he loves the good shepherd's voice and follows him. And it's the good shepherd that motivates him. And we see that, isn't it? It's the good shepherd who motivated Peter, and he knew would motivate these elders in verse 4. Notice he tells them, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Nothing would excite and motivate these true elders than knowing the chief shepherd is going to appear one day, and I'm going to be in his kingdom. I want nothing more than that. And he uses that to motivate them here, doesn't he, to do these things, be these kind of men. So the first qualification it seems he requires of elders is to love him, love the Lord Jesus. But notice that Peter goes on to detail and more description of what Jesus requires of elders. In verse 2, he tells them, "Shepherd the flock that is a flock of God that is among you." And what does it mean to shepherd the flock? Well, it surely following the Old Testament metaphor, it means to feed and lead the sheep, protect them from straying and from dangers that they face. But Peter focuses on three specific things that these shepherds are not to do. Did you notice that? Three nots. And it really is following Ezekiel 34. The prophet Ezekiel, I'm sure, is in Peter's mind when he talks to these shepherds, because Ezekiel 34, in that chapter, the prophet gives a condemnation on the shepherds of Israel and their evil in the way that they're being shepherds of the flock. They are unfaithful shepherds, feeding themselves, only caring about themselves, and being harsh with the sheep. And Peter picks up those same things here in his not statements, doesn't he? Three evils that Peter warns shepherds, elders against in verses 2 and 3. Notice what he says. "Shepherd the flock of God that's among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." 16th century pastor John Calvin really believed that Peter was addressing three evils that often prevail among pastors and elders, and that is apathy, desire for gain, and lust for power. Those aren't strange things. They're things that are going to be evils and temptations for every human being inside and outside the church. And you can see that's what they are here that Peter's warning against, right? We see the evil of apathy in verse 2. When he tells them, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. In other words, Jesus says these shepherds are to desire, have an internal desire and motivation to love and serve the sheep. They don't have to be prodded or pushed to serve, and they're not reluctant servants, but they're willing. They willingly do it. And he says there's a desire for gain is not a good thing in verse 3, or verse end of verse 2. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. In other words, these under-shepherds should be serving eagerly, disinterested of their own benefits, whatever they may be, because if they serve as under-shepherds only for what they gain themselves by it, they're serving their stomachs. They're serving their bank accounts, or they're serving their reputations. They're not serving Christ. And then Peter gives a third not in verse 3. Not domineering over those in their charge, but being examples to the flock. Domineering means gain power and domination over people. What kind of power is Peter talking about here? Think about it. It's a kind of power in which a person exempts himself from being subject to anyone. And we really see that in the second part of the statement, don't we? Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Peter's basically saying these elders should be elders with one goal in mind, and that is to be an example to the flock. What kind of example? An example in holiness, clearly, from the rest of Peter's letter. What does it look like to be holy? Well, it means to subject yourself to the same common rule as everyone else. To live in this, with others in humility and love, just like everyone else. Not only that, but leaders are to live in humility and love among others, open to correction from others. The total opposite of a tyrannical pride that never is corrected by anyone. Think about it. John Calvin said it like this: when the pastor exempts himself from all subjection and tyrannizes over the church, it's the worst thing. These are important words for us to hear and digest, especially as elders, but I would say they're also important words to digest for you if you're not an elder here at Town North, but you're one of the sheep, because they describe the kind of man you're looking for to be an elder at Town North. And if you've been here for any amount of time, you know in about a month, month and a half, you're going to receive a nomination form that asks you to put down names of men in the congregation that you've seen and know that have served here, and you know the character, to nominate them to serve as elders in the church. And at that time, on that form, we're going to give you some passages of Scripture in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 that give a description of what that man should look like and what his character should be like. But these words in 1 Peter chapter 5 are also important to look at when you think about that. Consider, is it a man who loves Jesus? Do you see that in his character, in his life, in his words, and not only words, but actions? And you're looking for a man who serves Christ's sheep willingly, eagerly, humbly. That means he's already serving Christ's sheep in some way. Look for a man who's already serving the sheep. Maybe in various ways, through praying Wednesday nights or Sunday mornings for the sheep, through leading a disciple group, serving in some way and in the body, whether it's serving the youth, serving with the communion elements, serving. There are many ways to serve, but look for a man who's already serving and willingly serving. He's not serving so that people see him, but because he wants to do it. That's the kind of man you're looking for the office of elder. Peter's making it clear here, this is what he should look like, a man who's also humble and willing to be corrected and lives under the same rule as everyone else and really sees himself as the same member as everyone else in the flock and here by the grace of God only in Christ. But these words are also important to digest for another reason, I would say, if you're a sheep in the flock here at Town North. They're important for you to digest in this way, to consider how much the Lord Jesus loves you. Did you think about that in these requirements? You can't help but see that Jesus deeply loves you when you read these requirements. You know, as I read this description of what Jesus requires, it was strikingly similar to the way that my wife Kelly and I approached babysitter when we had our first child. It took quite a while to have a babysitter for our child in the first place, but then when that time did come, we didn't just want any babysitter. This person had to be vetted, had to know this person. Any young girl down the street that we didn't know was not going to do for our child. Had to be a person that we knew, we trusted, and we know would thoroughly love our child as we do. You know, that's the way Jesus is telling us he wants his shepherds to be, right? He's saying, I love these sheep so much, you better take care of them. And you better love them the way I love them. That's what he requires of his under shepherds, because the good shepherd loves them deeply. It's important for you to digest that as one of the sheep, to think, wow, look at how much he cares for me and what he will not allow and does not allow ultimately in bringing his judgment against shepherds who would do such thing to his precious sheep. He loves you. So first, Jesus requires, that's what he requires of his elders. But notice secondly, what he requires of the sheep in verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Notice there are two requirements here for the sheep, but they really can be condensed into one. The first requirement in verse 5, he tells to the younger people, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Peter's talking now to the younger people and telling them to be subject to the elders. And commentators have different views here on how Peter's using the word elder. Because it could go two ways when you think about it. He just says the word younger, and now he says the word elder. It's the same word in verse 1 and verse 5. But it seems here some commentators believe that he is switching here to refer to elders in this context strictly with their age. Younger people be subject to older people. Not necessarily a position of leadership in this case, but now younger be subject to elder people. But others say, no, Peter's using the word in the same way and referring to elders in the office of elder and saying younger people especially should be subject to elders because they're going to be most times the most unruly and unwilling when you're young and push back against every authority and resistance. And it really could go either way, and I could contend really the end of verse 5 clarifies the beginning of the verse and really makes it clear what Peter's overall point is. Notice what Peter says at the end of verse 5, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So you see what he's saying there. Clothe yourselves with humility towards your elders in office. Count others more significant than yourselves. Submit to shepherds just that Jesus has given you. That's what Paul talks about in Philippians 2, right? Count others more significant than yourselves. Willingly come under submission to others in the flock, especially those that Jesus put over you as your under-shepherds, to care for you and to help for you. Submit to those he's given you so that they can help you. And that's not easy for us, is it? John Calvin, again, I hate to keep going back to it, but John Calvin has some rich things in this about these verses. He says it was once said that every one of us has within him the soul of a king. Every one of us has within us the soul of a king. In other words, I'm the king, and I don't submit to anybody. I'll submit to you as long as you're going along with what I think I should be doing. But as soon as you cross me, I'm the king. And Jesus calls us here to not do that, but to say there's a place in the church where he does call us to willingly submit and seek the help of his under-shepherds, elders. He calls us to help our shepherds by submitting to them and coming under them for care. He calls us to do this because it's his plan for shepherding. He says, this is the only way it's going to work. The only way I can really shepherd you is I'm going to put some people with skin on in front of you that I'm going to use through my word and spirit to help guide you. I won't be with you physically, but they will be. The only way an elder is going to help you is if you willingly come to him and seek help and guidance and willingly submit to correction when needed. Otherwise, he's going to do you no good. Your elder's going to simply be a figurehead, and he's going to have a title, but effectively do nothing for you. Jesus tells us here that's not how he designed his shepherding to work. As a matter of fact, he gives us a warning that those who elevate themselves in this way and resist it and don't do this will find themselves actually as an enemy of God. And he quotes Proverbs chapter 3 here. Notice at the end of verse 5, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He's quoting Proverbs chapter 3 and telling us what the Bible tells us again and again. God does oppose the proud. Those who stand up and resist everything he puts in place are going to find themselves resisting God. But the humble, the low, who have nothing and come to him and seek him for all that they need, he lifts up and he holds up. So we see the principle God's giving us here. He supplies and provides for the humble in everything that they need. And specifically here, he supplies them with what they need through under-shepherds and those who are humble and come to him. And he tells them, you're not alone in this pilgrimage. I'm with you, and I've given you shepherds to be with you. Now, as followers of Jesus Christ, you need to hear that, and especially people at Town North. And Jesus is telling you here to use the elders God's given you at Town North. And that's why we put a list at the end of your worship guide today. I hope you saw that. The last page after the announcements, it looks like this. If you're a member of Town North, your name should be on there. And you're on a list for an elder. And that elder is your shepherding elder. We divide up our session in this way that each elder has a flock, a sub-flock to shepherd and care for. And you're divided up primarily, first of all, by relationship. If the elder had a relationship with you when you came into the church, got to know you through the inquirers class and after, then we divide them up naturally that way, relationally. If an elder knows you, he'll say, oh, I'll take them. I know them. I know that family. I know that couple. I know that person. But if they don't know you or none of the elders really know you that well, then we assign you to an elder, and that elder reaches out to you to start to build that relationship, let you know he's your shepherding elder. He's assigned to you to walk with you through your pilgrimage in this world to help you. So it's important for you to know who your shepherding elder is and to reach out to him and to ask for help and prayer in following Christ. And it's good to even have his number in your contacts or your speed dial, I would recommend. He's the one Jesus has given you to walk through your lowest lows and your highest highs and everything in between, and to help lead you with Christ's word. You'll hear Christ's word through him. And it's helpful for him to hear from you. It's helpful for him to hear from you when you're struggling with hard things. I know the other elders are like me in this way. There's some people who call me and are apologetic, like, oh, I know you're busy, or I know this, and I understand that. And they tell me in their struggle or need. And I have to say, it's invigorating to me to hear their need and pray with a person and to think about them and their need. And I know all the other elders are the same way. It's enlivening and helpful for us as elders to hear your needs and to pray with you and to know your deepest concerns in life. And I know every one of these elders feel this way. And I can guarantee you, if you reach out to them with a deep need, you will be on their hearts and minds. I know these men. They will pray for you. I've seen it. It helps the elder and it helps you to turn to him and to know in times of need. You need to hear the shepherd's voice, and you can hear it through him. He's Christ's instrument to speak Christ's word to you. That's what an elder does. And he can do it in a way that's different than a podcast preacher. I mean, we can hear a lot of good doctrine and preaching online, can't we? But there's something about having a real person to shepherd you who knows you that's important and knows your situation. And you don't have to start from the beginning when you tell him what's going on, because he knows you. I don't know about you, but if you go to a counselor who's cold and doesn't know anything, you got to start from square one. Okay, I was born in 1966. When you're in deep trouble, that's not what you want to do. You don't want to start from the beginning to have someone start to get you to know you then. When you're in an emergency, you want someone who knows you. And that's what these shepherds do. And that's what the advantage is that Christ gives us in giving us shepherds. When you're in an emergency, you need a shepherd who knows you. And you know what? Jesus gave you a shepherd. Given you shepherds at Town North because he loves you. So just as Hamid and I and Imad desperately needed a guide that day over in Turkey, we all desperately need a guide here in this world. Jesus Christ is our guide. He's our good shepherd. He'll get us where we need to go. But he uses under-shepherds. He uses elders in our pilgrimage in this world. So I would say to you today, use the shepherds Jesus gave you. He loves you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for loving your sheep. We thank you for giving us such care that you not only sent your Spirit to dwell in us, but you have sent shepherds in your church. You've given gifts to men to be pastors and teachers and to help your sheep. Oh, Lord Jesus, please strengthen us. Strengthen elders, we pray. Help us. And strengthen all your sheep, we pray, that they may love you and walk with you all the days of their lives to reach their desired rest with you. In your name we pray. Amen.